matching funds. You can get more information about this on our website at kboo.fm/year-end-gift-2013.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, December 17th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. First, a few headlines before we get rolling. Still trying to reach Stephen Horn. We want to talk to him about a number of stories that he's broken in recent days. He's a busy man, as is, of course, Glenn Greenwald. In a voluntary carbon market, companies that pollute or use a lot of power, especially in the healthcare industry, are trying to offset their carbon emissions by buying up the carbon absorbing capacity of farms. That is the official statement. What that boils down to is, trees are now valued more standing up than lying horizontally on trucks being taken to far off markets. Millions and millions of years for a forest to evolve, and it's gone in the blink of an eye. Not so anymore. The value apparently has finally awakened our legislators, some of them, not all of them, to the fact that we've reached a tipping point. And postal protesters were arrested the other day, among them KBOO's Jamie Partridge in Iraq, farther afield. Democracy has seen its bloodiest month yet, and in nearby Yemen, Parliament took a largely symbolic vote, but a vote nonetheless, outlawing death by a drone. Free speech advocates, this goes back to weekend, but I'd like to reconsider it today. Free speech advocates are claiming victory after Multnomah County Circuit Court ruled the Port of Portland cannot reject anti-clear-cutting advertisements at the Portland International Airport. That had come up, and it does in fact come up at a time when Kitts Harbour has managed to sell off the Elliott State Forest to timber companies in order to find out exactly how much it's worth. Well, we pretty much already know it's worth more standing than cut, and free speech advocates and environmentalists, conservationists who wish to get the word out to the traveling public have managed to make their point. The weather first, though, for Cascadia. We are advised of partly sunny skies today, though a heavy fog starting out this morning, obviously. Highs around 43, calm winds tonight. Slight chance of rain or drizzle, but that will come probably late. Mostly cloudy, lows around 39. And for tomorrow, chance of rain earlier on in the day. And the National Weather Service even has the temerity to mention the S word. Yep, snow. Possibly. Otherwise, overcast skies, highs near 44, calm winds for tomorrow night. Slight chance of rain and snow showers early on. Overcast and lows around 30. Not much in the way of wind. Not much in the way of an alternative forecast, other than to say this: it's a full moon, and pretty much all that implies at the moment. Not too many people are outside working, although people who have managed greenhouses have their hands full this time of year. And jumping right into a few of the stories from around Cascadia, and and beyond, of course. The Port of Portland has finally has caved to those who wish to tell the world that Oregon, far from being the green mecca that it is advertised to be, in fact would like to mask the clear-cutting that's going on. Anyone who's driven on Highway 26, or for that matter, any other of our rural highways, has witnessed a screen of Douglas firs that barely, if you're driving fast enough, barely mask the clear-cutting that lies just on the other side. The fact that those Douglas firs are standing at all is astonishing. Trees of that sort grow, and they've evolved over millions of years to grow in a certain manner. They require trees of a variety of different heights for the canopy to thrive and for the understory to thrive, and to provide, of course, the nurse logs for future generations of forest. Not so in Oregon, where forest management has been having its way with our wildlands these past many decades. You can't thin a forest of that sort. You destroy it. You create a tree farm. In any case, the work, all of that and more can be conveyed in pictures. That's exactly what advocates want to do at the airport. This ruling comes in a case brought by a coalition of conservation organizations, as well as the American Civil Liberties Organization of Oregon, over the airport's initial refusal to accept an anti-clear-cutting signage. The court followed This is coming straight from the old. From the horse's mouth. This is David Vidanke. We're hoping to get him on the show to talk a bit more about this in greater detail. The court followed well-established principles of freedom of expression under the Oregon Constitution. The ad in question seeks to draw attention to proposals by Senator Ron Wyden and others to vastly expand clear-cutting on public lands in Western Oregon. The effects of the logging would be a knockout punch to the tourism industry, many other industries as well in Oregon. The actual, if you want to know the real cost of this, it'll take a while to add it all up. Of course, the American Civil Liberties once again going to bat on behalf of the people who are affected, the jobs that would be lost by clear-cutting this, and that once the trees are gone, they're gone. Once the trees are logged and the timber barons move on, you don't move back in and run a thriving tourist industry. That's it. Seven activists were arrested yesterday at a protest against the pending closure of the Gateway Mail Processing Center. The protesters staged a sit-in in the center's loading dock and refused to leave when asked to do so, as protesters are wont to do. They were arrested by U.S. Postal Inspection Service police officers. They were cited for blocking the loading dock, a federal misdemeanor charge. Slapped on them, and they were quickly released. Among those arrested were Bart Bulger, part-time rural letter carrier, and Jimmy Partridge, KBOO. A volunteer, retired letter carrier from Portland. The sit-in followed a rally outside the adjacent Gateway Post Office. And as always, if you looking at all of the sources, I myself was not there, but various sources numbered the turnout at anywhere from Oregonians' traditional low end of 40 up to about 80. So, and people at protests do tend to come and go. And so the cumulative numbers upwards of probably 75. This is one of the biggest years, of course, for the biggest days of the year for the Postal Service. And this is happening, of course, at the Springfield Processing Center. Is about 169 permanent employees. It's on the list of facilities set to be closed down after February. And this, of course, is a thinly veiled disguise for the privatization. Of course, UPS and other carriers looked around and spied yet another industry that is potentially lucrative for them, and decided that it would be great if we could just get rid of the Postal Service, which charges fair rates, and go after the private wealth that another source. Just one example for purposes of a comparison. To send a letter right now to Alaska, it will cost you a forever stamp. You just go out and buy a stamp, put it on the letter, pop it in a box, and there you go. If private carriers take over, and we no longer have the option, getting a letter to Alaska could cost around $50. No kidding. It's really coming. The postal services does a great deal more than just deliver letters too. It binds together small communities in far-flung places where it is part of the social fabric. So, cheers for the protesters who are there. We need more people turning out. If you love your small rural post office, get out there and protect it from the depredations of, again, the private industry, because if you don't, it'll be gone, and then you'll wonder where it went. More from around Cascadia. For most of Oregon's history, forests have been seen as a resource where people could go if they wanted to become fabulously rich by plundering the resources that are all around us. The difference between a tree farm and an actual forest has not been clearly understood, apparently, by our legislators, though comes a new plan. This is not exactly the same as some of the other carbon sequestration or other ideas for doing something, anything at this far too late juncture to rein in the carbon emissions. But nonetheless, it's better this than nothing else. It's a new program based on it's based on using, of course, as we all know, trees as carbon sinks that suck up carbon dioxide from the air and into the tree's root system. Again, this is iffy because it's a voluntary carbon market. Companies that pollute or use lots of power, especially in the healthcare industry, are trying to offset their emissions by buying up carbon absorbing capacities of farms. In other words, paying people not to cut the trees through a system established by this new initiative. The carbon would be bundled and sold to healthcare companies, and they are based on the 20-year carbon based on the 20-year carbon absorbing capacity of the trees. It could be looking at more than $5,000 as an upfront payment for the first 5 years of the deal, and continue to generate $1,000 for those participating for the rest of the life of the contract. In this Oregon initiative, proponents say that everyone benefits. Corporations lower their carbon footprint. Landowners get money for health care, and the environment benefits from healthy trees. Tying this new idea to the healthcare industry is unique and extraordinary, and I think it's something that is well worth looking at. Though carbon markets in general look suspiciously like yet another way of funneling money to the 1%. Just as a cynical note to wrap that up with. We spoke yesterday with Stephen Zunis about the legacy, the peaceful legacy of Nelson Mandela. A great deal has been spoken recently about Mandela and the armed struggle in South Africa. Zunis makes a very good point about what really won the battle to end apartheid was the peaceful methods that Mandela employed. More on that, because it is pertinent to what is happening in the world right now. That is it. We don't have time to get into that today. There's a lot more to talk about. I want to also quickly mention that we have a list of the 12 ways that the state policy networks could assault the rights of working families next year. This was mentioned briefly, and we want to take that up again. These are interesting points and well worth taking note of. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, December 17th, 2013. Janet Anderson engineered the show today. Thanks so much, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, ICE violence continues at the U.S.-Mexico border, and the movement to defend immigrant workers and migrant workers and to stop the deportation of thousands of brown folks in this country. There are major actions at ICE detention centers all over this country. It's an amazing story. We've got that for you and much more straight ahead on Flashpoints. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. And we are joined by Pablo Alvarado. He is the executive director of the National Day Labor Organizing Network. Pablo Alvarado, you're in Los Angeles now. What's going on?
Well, this morning, a group of five young people decided to block the entrance of the ICE detention center here in downtown Los Angeles as a way to protest the fact that by the end